Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Inshallah, today, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we will have class number 17 from the series of classes of purification of the heart, and the title of the class is Your Parents Are a Great Trust. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about fulfilling the trusts as a characteristic of the believing hearts. Let us learn at the beginning about some of the ahadith of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, regarding fulfilling the trust. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "There is no faith for the one who has no trust, and no religion for the one who doesn't keep promises." He also, peace be upon him, said, "Discharge the trust to those who entrust you." Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "The believer is the one to whom the people would entrust their blood and their property." He also said, "On the Day of Judgment, the trust will pull those who didn't fulfill it to the hellfire." So this is clear, sisters, about the importance of fulfilling the trusts. Last week we learned about the greatest trust in life of the believer, which is the trust of the belief in Allah's oneness. That is to say, to choose to follow His rules and to obey His commands and to live your life as Allah's servant. This is based on the guiding nature of the man, his knowledge, will and effort. We also learned that caring and treating our parents in a kind way is the second important trust, as we learned from the verses of the Quran. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the duties, our duties towards our parents as a great trust in our life. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "Whoever wishes to have his lifespan increased, let him be dutiful to his parents and join the ties of kinship." So this means, sisters, we are all looking for, inshallah, a long good life, and the way is that to keep a good relation with your parents according to the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, also said, "There is no doubt that the three types of supplications that will be answered are the supplication of the oppressed, the supplication of the traveler, supplication of the parents for their child." So again, sisters, this is the mercy of Allah, that our parents are a way for a long life and also a way for the answered supplication. And actually, every one of us in our life is looking for, you know, someone to supplicate for him and to be sure that this is an answered supplication. So if I am not in a good health, I will call on my parents and ask them to supplicate for me, because inshallah their supplication is an answered supplication. If I am looking for for a child, for a job, for my hardship to end, it is always the supplication of the parents that is answered, and every one of us is in need of this answered supplication in every minute of our life. Allah the Almighty is encouraging every son and daughter to treat their parents with in a kind way, with love and care, and we will be always the one getting the blessings, the long life, the answered supplications and the paradise. And actually, now we will learn more about the role of the mother regarding her care to her children, as Allah stressed the good treatment of the mothers in many verses of the Quran and also in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now we will read from Surah number 31, verse number 14, to learn about the importance of good treatment of the parents and especially the mother. 15. أعوذ الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أنشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير. وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And we have enjoined on man to be dutiful and good to his parents. His mother bore him in weakness and hardship upon weakness and hardship, and his weaning is in 2 years. Give thanks to me and to your parents. Unto me is the final destination. But if they strive with you to make you join in worship with me, others, that of which you have no knowledge, then obey them not, but behave with them in the world kindly, and follow the path of him who turns to me in repentance and in obedience. Then to me will be your return, and I shall tell you what you used to do.
Actually, sisters, we must learn that parents normally offer their personal effort, resources, and life generally without complaint. Indeed, they often don't realize how much they give. They do it willingly and with pleasure, as if they were the recipients. Thus, parents do not need to be urged to take care of their children. The mother gives the larger share of the sacrifice with more love and care, as she tolerates the pain and pressure of pregnancy and childbirth. Actually, she carried her child in weakness upon weakness. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, a man came to him, asked Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which of the people is most deserving of my good companionship? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, replied, it is your mother. The man again said, what is next? Prophet Muhammad again replied, it is your mother. The man for the third time asked, who is the next? Prophet Muhammad for the third time replied, it is your mother. And then, when he was asked for the fourth time, what is next? The answer was, your father. So it is clear, sisters, that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is clarifying the importance of the good companionship regarding the mother. For 3 times he repeated that, your mother, your mother, your mother is the one who deserves your good companionship. And actually, I need to clarify to you a very important fact. Even if that person who asked the question is married, and he has a wife, and he has a mother, it is his mother. You know, so that we will be aware of the rules of the Islam. You know, it is his mother. Because inshallah, one day, you will be a mother. If now you are the wife, and you are not mentioned in this hadith, after 20 years, inshallah, you will be a mother, and you will be mentioned in the hadith. So as wife now, and you are still not the a mother of an old man, don't be jealous, and don't be upset, and don't feel that why his mother is before me, why his mother 3 times, and the wife is not mentioned in this hadith. Actually, from what we discussed last week about the sacrifice of the mother and father, whom actually they sacrifice everything for the sake of their children, and when their children are already grown up, the parents are already old and weak. Now, before the children were weak and the parents were the one in a good shape. After 20 years, the parents are the one whom they are old and weak, and the children are in the good shape. So at that time, it is the justice that the parents need the care, need the love, need the companionship. And life actually is a circle. Now you are a wife, and later you will be a mother, and you will deserve the good companionship. This is in Islam. But also in Islam, the one who deserves the good companionship of the wife is the husband, not the mother, not the father. You see, this is Islam. In Islam, number one, to be your good companionship, if you are a human being, or if you are a husband, it is your mother. If you are a wife, it is your husband. Okay? Now, one sister understand. The meaning is, now suppose me and my husband, we are married together. Now we are a couple. Okay? For example, I requested my husband, for example, to stay with me over the weekend. Okay? And to go out together. His mother called and told him, I need you to come and to stay with me the weekend. Okay? He must obey his mother. If my request is not urgent. Okay? His mother has the priority. You know, this is Islam. And sisters, I will clarify to you, this is the real mercy. The story of today, I will mention for you a story at the end of the class, and you will realize that this is the mercy of Allah. On the other side, I am the wife. My husband requested me to stay the weekend with him this weekend. My mother called me and told me, come and stay with me this weekend. I must obey my husband. Okay, my husband has the priority. Again, I want to clarify to you, sisters. Maybe you feel that, you know, this is unfair, okay? So to cut it short, you know, not to choose the words, okay? This is unfair. Why the wife has to, you know, to have her husband as the priority, and why the husband has to have his mother as the priority, okay? This is a question. Sometimes the sisters ask why, okay? Number one, sisters, we will recite this verse of the Quran, and we will recite another verse of the Quran, which will clarify to you how much the mother sacrifice for her kids. So it is not fair that suppose I was married at the age of 22, and at that age I just finished my college, okay, and I married. Then I got pregnant. So it was very difficult for me to work and to take care of my baby. So I decided not to work, forget about the work and to take care of my baby. So from the age of 22, okay, all my life is deviated for the family, especially for the baby. Okay, when my baby is around 5 years old, I decided to have another baby. So that, you know, both of them, they will grow up together. So up to the age of 30, I am totally devoted to my kids. Okay, as I will clarify to you now more from the verses of the Quran, according to the rules of the Quran. These rules are for those whom they follow the rules of the Quran regarding breastfeeding, regarding taking care of the children. Okay, not to have a baby and after 3 months to throw the baby in the daycare and that's it. Okay, this rule is not for these mothers. These rules of the Islam are for the mothers whom they follow the rules of the Quran regarding caring for the baby, which we will learn soon from the verses of the Quran. So now from age 22 up to the age of 30, I am totally deviated 100% to the baby, you know, taking care when he didn't sleep at night, he is growing, he is walking, I am teaching him, you know, toilet training, a lot of issues, you know, until my two kids are now around 5 or 6. Now I am 30 years old, and I feel that still I will not be able, you know, to work full-time and to take care of my kids, so according to the rules of Islam, the family is the most important unit in the society, so I decided to stay at home or to work from home, but still, my kids and my husband and my family is the most important priority for you. So this means that all my life was deviated from the age of 22 until the age of 40, 45, until my child now is 20, 25, he decided, you know, to marry. Okay, and he married. He is supposed that when he, now I am around 45 or I am around 50, my son is around 25, 26, he married. He is supposed that as soon as he will marry to tell me, my mother, thank you very much. I have another person in my life whom she is the most important. He doesn't know her. She didn't sacrifice. She is actually having the fruit of the life of the mother. You know, the mother, you know, worked for 25 years to have the fruit. Then the wife comes and she took the fruit. But she didn't took the fruit only. She planned that let us cut the relation with the source of the fruit. Your mother must be away from the picture, otherwise I will be very upset. You see, this is unfair. How come we can, accept, you know, as a human being, having, you know, the mercy in our hearts, how come we can accept, actually, if we are watching this movie, how come we will accept that this old mother now, whom she is 50, whom she deviated all her life, all her effort, or, you know, her qualifications, she didn't work, she didn't have money, you know, everything was willingly for her son, then suddenly we will tell her, your rule in life ended. Forget about your son. Don't interfere in his life. Don't cause for him troubles. Don't request from him anything. Try to be busy now with your own life. Try to work. Yes. You know, very fair people. This is very fair. Her daughter-in-law will tell to her husband, let your mother be busy with any other thing other than us. She is interfering in our life day and night. No, this cannot be accepted. Let her work. Let her enjoy traveling. Let her enjoy friends. But she never enjoyed anything at the real time of enjoyment. She never enjoyed. From the age of 22 until the age of 45, her main goal was this son and his father and this family. Now, after she sacrificed all her golden years and her health and her effort, you are requesting her to forget about that fruit completely and to be busy with any other thing. Let her make friends. Let her go to the college and study French. Yes, very nice. The most important, to get rid of her. You know, this is not the justice. This is not the mercy. And because of that, you know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, as I mentioned last week, for any sin, the punishment will be delayed until the day of judgment, except for the sin related to the parents. The punishment will be in the worldly life. So everyone must question herself as a wife. Why I have a lot of troubles in my marriage? Maybe because I am oppressing my mother-in-law. Maybe because I am not aware of her rights regarding my husband to take care of her. Maybe because I am unfair with her. And actually, you know, sisters, to be a human being having mercy and justice, okay, you must always feel the feelings of the other one who is with you in the equation. Now you must feel the feelings of your mother-in-law. Your mother-in-law, her son is her life. You know, she lived with that son all the time. She eats with him. She goes out with him. She studies for him. She wakes up for his exams. You know, I am mentioning to you this because this is my life. My life is my kids. You know, so no one can come and tell me, Mona, forget about your kids. Now your daughter is married. Salaamu alaikum. Okay? Then I will have one question. I will be busy with what now? This was all my life for the last 25 years. Now I cannot start. I cannot start after the age of 50. You know, after the age of 50, every mother, old mother, you know, is requested by her daughter-in-law to find another new life for her. So this is unfair, you know, sisters. And you must get the feelings, you know, of your mother. And because of that, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, for the husband, okay, the one who is who deserves your good companionship is your mother, your mother, your mother, then your father. Your wife is not there yet in the equation. You see, first the mother three times, and then the father, you know, because we always forget our parents. And I will prove for you this. When we grow up and we have kids, you know, we feel that our kids are our trust. My only trust is my kids. No, this is wrong 100% in the scale of Allah. Your parents are more important as a trust than your kids. Okay? Because your kids are still growing up and you have the love and the care for them. As your parents, had the love and the care for you. So this is your nature will be towards giving, you know, the care and love for your kids, but it will be also towards forgetting about the previous generation, and this is unfair. And because of that, Allah is always reminding the kids, not reminding the parents, reminding the kids in the Quran and the Sunnah regarding the trust of the parents. And if you don't fulfill the trust of your parents, or if you prevent your husband from fulfilling the trust regarding his parents, you will feel the punishment of Allah in your worldly life and in the other life. Okay. You have a question.
What about the rights, if the mother transgresses to the rights of the wife? Because
yes,
this is also very
yes,
true.
I agree
where
with you.
You agree with the mother, okay, do this. You
yes,
are kind to the mother. You
yes,
are okay with the mother. You
yes,
try, you
yes,
try, you try, and you don't interfere between them, the son, your husband and his mother.
Yes.
But they interfere on you.
Yes,
upon everything, they don't want you, they oppress you. So then, where are your rights?
Yes.
Or where can you say,
This is enough.
Enough, I want this, but my rights too.
Yes, you know? I tell you one thing.
And as a mother, you know, protect your own children.
Yes, I agree with
because
you. You know, but I tell you one thing. Number one, this is the rule of the husband. Okay, because the husband must be fair. He knows his mother. If his mother is having a very strong personality and he wants to control everything, you know, as we always think that this is the case of most of our mothers-in-law, okay, this is the rule of the husband. He can, you know, communicate with his mother and he can clarify to his mother that he is trying all the best to fulfill her trust, but Allah, as Allah commanded him to treat her in a good way, Allah commanded him to take care of his family, okay, and not to to oppress his wife, because the wife also is a trust, you know, and we'll discuss this. So it is actually number one and number 10, it is the husband, okay, not both of them, not these two ladies. Okay, because they will be always against each other. This is the woman nature. So the husband must be the one, you know, to draw the line. Okay, when his mother will try to oppress his wife, he must interfere and tell her, no, my mother, I give you all your rights, and Allah will question me about my wife and about my family and about my, you know, my future. So for the sake of Allah, be away. And this is the line for your rights, and also this is the line for my wife's rights. This is the only way, the husband. But to have this, you know, a relation between the mother-in-law and, you know, her daughter-in-law without interfering of the husband, this is the big fight, and this is sometimes lead to divorce and failure of the whole family. If it is, you know, a woman to woman, this is totally wrong. He must interfere, and both of them will accept his point of view. If his mother loves him and she wants to keep him in a good relation with her, she will stop at the point where he asked her to stop, and this will be also the case for the wife whom she is caring for her family and for her relation with her husband. Okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, a man came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, while he was carrying his mother during the obligatory walk around the Kaaba, the Tawaf, during Hajj. Actually, you know, sister, during Hajj, you know, you must make turns around the Kaaba. Prophet Muhammad met a man who is carrying his mother on his back, okay, and doing this around the Kaaba, you know, doing the Tawaf while he is holding his mother. This is very difficult because when you are old, you will gain a lot of weight. And, you know, he is making these seven walks, seven rounds around the Kaaba while his mother is on his back. Okay? So he asked Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, whether he had discharged his duty towards her, you know, through this great effort. The Prophet said no. Not even for a minute of pain during her pregnancy or delivery. You see, sisters, this is a very important fact, and this is very important for all of us, because inshallah one day you will be the mother. Now you are the wife, and you are jealous and upset and not happy with the hadith. Okay? But wait, you know, 15 or 20 years, when you are already old, and you will feel very lonely, and your son, you know, have his wife as the greatest priority in his life, and you are in the shade, at that time, you will be very happy with this ahadith of Prophet Muhammad, because this is the only way to remind everyone regarding caring for the parents and taking care of them, and trying to have them in your life. You know, sisters, I am clarifying this to you, actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because here in the West, now, you know, many people, when their parents are old, they just send them to senior citizens' home, you know, and actually, sisters, this is unfair. Okay, the busy Western life has led to breakup in the family. Okay, and actually, sending your parents after they already fulfilled all the trust towards you, you know, to senior citizens' home, you know, in the scale of Allah, is a sin, because this is unfair. Okay, so because of this fact, which is happening now in the West, and it is starting to happen in the Muslim countries, you know, Allah is sending these verses of the Quran and these ahadith to remind every one of us never to send your parents to the citizen's home, never to forget about your parents. Be a fair person, be a just person. When you want to take, when you were young, now you must give, because this is the equation of life, okay, the compensation for those whom they give us everything, not just to throw them in the citizen's home. And actually, you know, once they have, you know, a program in the Egyptian television regarding this citizen's home in Egypt, and the mothers were crying and crying, you can't imagine. You know, they were telling why our kids throw us in these homes. We cannot live like this. We are not like, you know, the people of the, you know, Western countries. We have very strong family ties. We don't want from them any money or, you know, or anything. We just want to live close to them. We want to have them in our lives. In these citizens' home, mostly the kids never visit their parents. You know, at the beginning, they visit them every month. Then every 6 months, then once per year, then in the vacation, then they never visit. You see, sisters, and because of that, Allah is stressing, you know, regarding the care of the parents, and especially the mother, and also the care of the, you know, and also the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Because also there is a very important fact we wives must remember. There are a lot of wives whom they sacrifice their life, and when they are having very difficult husbands and very hardship in their marriage, they decide, you know, to keep silent and to tolerate for the sake of their kids. You know, they always feel that it is not the responsibility of my kid to throw them, you know, to a stepmother so that I can start a new life. In Islam, mostly, you know, as a mother, so long you decide to have kids, you must take care of them. You know, it is not the issue which is going on in the Western countries. Stepmother, stepfather, step this, in-laws. There is no family. Actually, when you try to have 10 kids in my daughter's school, okay, 7 of them are not having a father and mother. 7 of them. You know, especially the single mother. This is number one. 5 single mothers. 2 single father, then maybe 1, you know, living, you know, maybe with other or adopted, and then 2 having a father and mother out of 10. Why? Because the family is not important. Because when we don't care for our parents, we will not care for anything. Because, you know, sisters, I will clarify to you the meaning of my words now when we will learn how to care for our parents. Okay? But just I need to clarify to you that the reason behind all this ahadith and verses of the Quran regarding the good treatment of the parents, because this is the nature of life, that by time we always forget about our parents. In this verse of the Quran, there is a very important fact regarding the revert Muslims. Okay, Allah is clarifying that. However, differences of faith do not deprive parents of the right to receive kind treatment and companionship. Because there are some scholars, as one sister mentioned to me 5 years ago in Houston, one of the scholars told her, don't communicate with your parents, forget about your parents, don't visit them, don't have any communication with them, because now they are disbelievers. Okay? And this is totally wrong according to the Quran. Now you have this verse of the Quran, verse number 15 from surah number 31. It is the command of Allah to keep the good relation and the kind treatment and the companionship, to visit them, to take care of them, to treat them in a good way. If they need money, if they need anything, to do it for them. So long you can keep your belief in Allah away from this religion. Okay? You tell them, I have my religion, you have my your religion, but I will be still the best kid for you. I will take care of you, I will visit you, I will pay for you whatever you need, but please let us have this differences of faith out of our religion. Okay? So this is the reality of the Quran, because we don't want, you know, to actually to show the Islam as a religion which actually destroy, you know, the relations of the family, which is against the mercy regarding human being. It is not the problem of your parents that you decide to become a Muslim. This is not their problem. They take care of you so that when you grow up, you will be a good son or daughter. So, you decide to become a Muslim, this is your problem, this is your decision. But still you are their kid, but still you are part of them, but still you have to take care of them. And to clarify to them, let us have the faith out of our religion. You have a question? Okay.
Okay. For the daughter.
Yes.
She married.
Okay.
My mother needs me.
Okay.
But my husband decides he needs something like Adi, something small. But my mother needs me.
Your mother needs you for emergency?
She needs me, yes.
Emergency?
Emergency. She needs me to take care of her, to be with her.
Okay.
Travel with her, whatever she needs.
Yes, but I tell you one. You see, as you understand from this ahadith, if you have a brother, it is the duty of your brother. Because as I mentioned, it is the husband who has to take care of his mother.
But if they don't fulfill their duties,
the brothers. If the brothers don't fulfill their duties, you try with your husband in a good way, okay, to let him understand or to let him, you know, accept that I am taking care of my mother for the sake of maybe, you know, she will love Islam. You can use, you know, the words which your husband will accept, take care of her. But it is not your responsibility, number one. It is the responsibility of your brother. You know, this is Islam, because Allah knows that your husband will pressurize you if you tell him every weekend, I want to go to take care of my mother. So Islam wants to keep your family. So what Islam did, he told you, because you don't have the upper hand in the family. You know, Allah made the parents the responsibility of the upper hand of the family, which is the husband. But for you, the wife in Islam is not the upper hand. For you, you cannot take a decision. What can I do? Okay. But again, I will give you a personal advice. Okay. The more you treat your husband in a good way, as inshallah I will clarify to you in the coming classes, the more you treat his parents in a good way, the more your husband will accept that you take care of your family. You know, because this is life. The more you give good, the more you will be rewarded good. You see, so this is life. Okay, there are some exceptions. Okay, but we don't want to be all of us the exceptions. You know, because this is whenever I discuss any issue, I notice that all of us are the exceptions. You know, no, there are some exceptions. But I tell you one thing. Maybe in life you meet a man and he is an exception. Okay? But be sure that the mercy of Allah will make you to have another man who is the normal, not the exception. Okay? Because, you know, the rules of Allah must be true. Okay? So, this is actually the test of the worldly life. Okay? But again and again I am clarifying to you, it is number one, the responsibility of your brother, not you. If you don't have brothers, from day one, you have an agreement with your husband. Okay, even before marriage, you tell him, I don't have husband, and I love my parents, they sacrifice for me a lot, so please, I want you not to prevent me from going to them. If this will cause for you a trouble during our marriage, okay, clarify it for me now. We may continue, or I can cancel my marriage even. You know, suppose now someone proposed to my daughter, okay, for example. And he told to my daughter that he wants to travel with her to live in Egypt, and he doesn't want her to have strong communication with her family, very minimal. Yes, there are some people whom they have this, you know, belief, very minimal, okay? So she must tell him, I am very sorry. I don't have brothers. Whenever my mother or my father, especially my mother, will be sick or she will be in hardship, she will need me. With your proposal, I will not be able to fulfill the trust, my trust regarding my mother. Thank you very much. I can't marry you. Okay, this is how we have to choose our husbands, you know, and I will repeat this and this again in the coming classes. You know, there are very important facts which we must discuss clearly before marriage. Your husband must come and tell you, I will live with my parents. Okay, do you agree or not? So you must be clear. Maybe you are the personality, you cannot live with them. So you tell him, no, thank you. It will never work for me. I can't marry. Okay? And you save your life. And you save your kids. And you save your future. But just to marry for the sake of marriage, or the sake of wealth, or the sake of kids, and then, you know, it is the disaster which we are living in. Most of the families, 90% or more, are not happy in reality.
I will. The revert and culture difference.
Okay. Yes.
In my culture, in my family, let me say, the women doesn't leave. My mother calls me, whether my brother is there or not. My mother needs me. This is so. How do you for a revert and for my culture? You cannot say, well, mom, in Islam, then she will say, I need you. I'm sick. What do you mean, Islam? I don't understand this. I need you.
What about the rule of your brothers?
It's okay, but his wife is first. Mostly he goes for his wife. But because the sister, go to your sister. Well, he goes to me. My brother will come to me. Are you taking care of my mom? My brother comes to me. It's the opposite.
It's matrimonial.
In my family, yes, the guys are doing this. They have their lives. But the women, there. Yes. Whether my grandparents, whether my...
So I tell you one thing.
So how do you...
Have this
And then
equation?
You cannot, if there's a problem. There is a certain time for the calling of Allah, like to give dawah. But when they're sick, when they are going through problems, if I call my mother and my mother's calling me, and I tell her, well, mom, in Islam it says my husband wants...
Don't say in Islam at all.
Well, no, but she will say, why? You know,
to avoid Islam, because, you know, she will not be with Islam. You know, but I tell you, so the only issue for these cultural changes, you know, or differences, you know, clarify to your husband from the start. When you marry someone from a different culture, tell him, in our culture, I will be close to my mother and I will take care of her. I am clarifying to you this now. Let us agree that I will try my best, you know, want to take care of you and my mother when she needs me. Okay? Try to clarify this to him. And again, you know, Melissa, I learned from my life that the more you're happy, your husband is in a good mood with you, the more he will be willing to support you to do whatever you like. Okay, the more you are not in a good shape with him or with his family, the more he will cause troubles for you, any kind of troubles. Okay, so the most important is to try all the time. Not when your mother needs you, you will be nice with him. Okay, and then you will not be nice with him. Okay, then when your mother calls you and tell you, come, okay, my husband, can I prepare for you a very nice food? My husband, can I go and visit your mother? Then after 2 hours, can I go and visit my mother? Okay, you know, Melissa, this is the reality. Okay, now we will read another verse of the Quran, which is related to the same, caring for the parents, especially for the mother, okay, and clarifying the importance of the mother to take care of her kids for the first 2 years and to stay at home with them. We will read from Surah number 46, verse number 15.
إن الإنسان بوالديه إحسانا حملته أمه كرها ووضعته كرها وحمله وفصاله 30 شهرا حتى إذا بلغ أشده وبلغ 40 سنة قال ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And we have enjoined on man to be dutiful and kind to his parents. His mother bears him with hardship, and she brings him forth with hardship, and the bearing of him and the weaning of him is 30 months, till when he attains full strength and reaches 40 years, he says, My Lord, grant me the power and ability that I may be grateful for your favor which you have bestowed upon me and upon my parents, and that I may do righteous good deeds such as please you, and make my offspring good. Truly I have turned to you in repentance, and truly I am one of the Muslims.
Actually, sister, this is an order given to all mankind. They are all enjoined to show kindness to their parents in its absolute, unrestricted sense. This order comes from the creator of the man. Islam considers the family the most important unit in the social structure. It is the nest where the young receive their share of love and learn the value of mutual cooperation and care. A child who doesn't have a family to look after him often suffers deprivation in some aspects of his life, even though all the sources of comfort remain available in its environment. This fact is based on two elements. You know, now I am clarifying to you, sister, that the family is the most important nest for the young, you know, to grow up. This means that the mother must take care of her baby and be close to him at least for the first 2 years of his life. Why? You know, number one, because it is proven that by nature a child loves to have his mother, he loves to have his mother's complete attention, okay, during the first 2 years of life. And so, if you throw the child, or if you send the baby to the daycare, okay, there is no one person. You know, in the daycare they work by the shift. Okay, so if you send the baby today to the daycare, he will find sister Liz. Tomorrow he will find sister Mona. After tomorrow he will find sister Melissa. Okay, so there is no one, you know, there is no one supervisor. You know, the baby is in need to see one face. Okay, and that face will be close to him, okay, because this gives him the stable personality. Okay, this is very important in the first 2 years of life. Also, the baby, this is what I clarify to you, the baby needs to feel, you know, the attention all the time when he is young. You know, this is the nature of the baby. This is how Allah created the baby, and this is proven, you know, by experiences. So we cannot, you know, take the baby, separate the baby from the mother. This is called the separation. Okay, from the mother, the bond of love and care, you know, while he is still, you know, in the first few months of his life, and just send him, you know, to the daycare where he will be cared for. But there is no continuous or complete attention. There is no one supervisor giving him all the time the love and the care, and there is no bond. Because the baby cannot have a bond one day with Sister Liz, one day with Sister Dana, one day with Sister Melissa, and they are totally different regarding taking care of him. He needs one person to give him the same care every day. This is the importance of the first 2 years of life, which we mostly, you know, ignore. Okay? Most of the mothers are under the impression that I will work, okay, after delivery, okay, until my child is 5 or 6, then when he is in the school and he needs me, I will take care of him. But during the first 2 years of life, he is not in need of me, he doesn't understand, he doesn't talk or anything, so they can take care of him in the daycare because he is just a baby. They will give him the bottle and they will put him to sleep. This is totally wrong, sisters, you know, theory. Okay, this is the theory that the most important 2 years for the stability of the personality of the baby is the first 2 years, because he receives the care, the love, the compassion, the bond of his mother. And actually, you notice that the baby by the age of 9 months or 10 months, he knows the smell of his mother. So when, yes, he knows the smell. So suppose, you know, my daughter carries her baby. Then I took my baby, her baby, you know, he starts to move his head. You know, he is looking for the smell of his mother. Because now he is, you know, having this direct contact or close contact with the mother. And this is the wisdom behind making the family the basic unit of the Islamic community. The verse describes the mother willing sacrifice. As Allah said, in pain did the mother bear him, and in pain did she give him birth. It is the pain of the pregnancy for 9 months, and the pain of the delivery, then the pain of all the actually the breastfeeding, which is also not an easy job, and in Islam it must be up to the age of 2 years. You know, if you can, if you cannot, you know. Yes. You an answer. I will give you an answer for this of Prophet Muhammad, who is the one who deserves your companionship. It is the mother who gives the breastfeeding for around 2 years, you see. But the mothers now are not giving breastfeeding even for 2 or 3 months.
Yes.
And actually, you know, the problem when the mother started dieting, you know, to make diet, okay, after 3 months, because she already gained weight, she will lose the breast milk. Okay, and the baby will not have breast milk. This is the kind of the mothers, you know, not the one mentioned in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The hadith is related to the mother whom she is willing to give breastfeeding as much as the baby needs, and he can have the breastfeeding.
Burns calories. Burns a lot of calories.
But the baby, it's more nutritious.
Yes, a lot of weight. Yes, I agree with you.
It's better for you.
Yes, yes. You know, it is always mentioned, forget about your body shape. You know, for the first 2 years after getting a baby, yes, 2 years, because wow. You will keep on giving breastfeeding, and to give breastfeeding for a long time, you need to drink milk and you need to eat a lot of food so that you can keep the supply for the baby.
But it burns calories.
You see? So, and because of that, you know, this is the issue.
It's awful. She would bleed. She saw doctors and different doctors and specialists, and she couldn't.
Yes, I tell you.
I tell you, if she cannot give breastfeeding, you must know the reason. You know, sometimes it is psychological. You know, before pregnancy, she is worried that her breast size will increase.
No,
and
she is not. Like
so she was willing to give breastfeeding?
She would try until she would bleed. She would be bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. He wouldn't latch right.
No, but I
But she saw so many doctors. 3 weeks she was trying. He was losing weight, losing weight, losing weight. The baby. She couldn't.
I will give you the answer again. You know, there are two possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Bleeding is normal. You know, because the nipple is dry, you know, because I was a neonatologist and this, we always, you know, are facing this problem.
I know it's so common, but...
This is common, but it is up to the mother's intention. If the mother's intention to continue, you know, she will tolerate this pain, gradually, you know, her nipple will be better and gradually she will keep the breastfeeding. But if the mother is very nervous, frustrated, not happy, the whole issue is the psychological pressure for her. You know, this will never work. And the physician will understand the intention of the mother and he will shift her to the mother. You know? So it is always very clear, you know, when you communicate with the mother, because, you know, I was in this issue, when you feel that the mother is reluctant, you know, to tolerate the pain, to keep the breast milk, so you just, you know, finalize this issue because she is under a lot of pressure after pregnancy and there is a, you know, postpartum depression, so you don't want to complicate the issue, so you just tell her, you know, forget about the breast feeding, but I want to tell you one thing, you know, it is the immunity. You know, this is the immunity, the most important. And nowadays, most of the problems are related to the immunity. You know, all the diseases now are because of the immunity problems. And this is clarified the importance of the breastfeeding. You know, so we must try for this actually.
I have one more question.
Yes, go ahead, no problem.
Is there a time when a kid is too old? This is gross, but a friend of mine, her husband's mother breastfed him until he was 5.
I know people like that.
Until he was 5?
5. It seems too much. Is there like a point that
too old? It is mentioned in the Quran, you know.
There's a limit.
Yes. Yes, up to the age of 2 or 2.5 maximum.
And then, he stopped.
Then she must stop. You know, this is, you know, what is mentioned here, you know, in the Quran. I will mention it to you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Said in the Quran, and the weaning of him. So you must wean the baby. You know, how you wean the baby, this is very easy. You start to introduce, you know, other food for him. When you start to introduce other food, he will forget about the breastfeeding. But to give up to the age of 5, you know, number one, this means that he had a lot of teeth.
Yeah.
And he will cause, you know...
But he's aware.
Yes. This is wrong, you know. And he is like a small young man standing and taking breastfeeding.
You can read. I mean, you can read.
In this verse of the Quran, Allah is mentioning... You know, when he is 40 years old, okay, Allah is mentioning a prayer of a believer at the age of 40. Why the age of 40? Because it is the age when we attain full maturity, when all the talents and potentials are at their best. At the age of maturity, that good believer in this verse of the Quran, he is praying to Allah to enable him to be grateful to Allah for his blessings on him and on his parents. So he is doing supplication to Allah and praying to Allah not for himself only, for himself and also for his parents. Okay? And also he is calling on Allah to give him he asked Allah for good descendants. Why he asked Allah for good descendants? Because he was a good descendant. Okay, and he realized the importance of being a good descendant, so he asked Allah for the same. Actually, now, sisters, we will learn about the duties and obligations towards parents at older age, the trust of the parents. Learning about our obligations towards our parents, which we will learn, inshallah, next week. Let us have this story at the end of this class, and inshallah, we will continue next week with the trust of the parents. Parents and the trust of the husbands, inshallah. I love you, mother. Happy Mother's Day. After 21 years of marriage, my wife wanted me to take another woman out at dinner or refreshment. She said, I love you, but I know this other woman loves you and would love to spend some time with you. The other woman that my wife wanted me to visit was my mother, who has been a widow for 19 years. But the demands of my work and my three children had made it possible to visit her only occasionally. That night I called to invite her to go out for dinner. What is wrong? Are you well? She asked. I thought that it would be pleasant to spend some time with you. I responded. Just the two of us, she thought about it for a moment and then said, I would like that very much. That Friday after work, as I drove over to pick up her, I was a bit nervous. When I arrived at her house, I noticed that she too seemed to be nervous about our date. She waited in the door with her coat on. She had curled her hair and was wearing the dress that she had worn to celebrate her last wedding anniversary. She smiled from a face that was radiant as an angel. I told my friends that I was going to go out with my son, and they were impressed, she said, and she got into the car. They cannot wait to hear about our meeting. This is her friends. They cannot wait. We went to a restaurant that, although not elegant, but it was very nice. My mother took my arm as if she were the first lady. After we sat down, I had to read the menu. Her eyes could only read large print. My mother smiled. It was I who used to have to read the menu when you were small, she said. Then it is time that you relax. It is the time that we relax. And Then it is the time that you relax. He is telling to his mother, now you can relax and let me return the favor. He will be the one to read the menu. During the dinner, we had an agreeable conversation. Nothing extraordinary, but catching up on recent events of each other's life. As we arrived at her house later, she said, I'll go out with you again, but only if you let me invite you. I agreed. How was your dinner date? Asked my wife when I got home. Very nice. Much more than I could have imagined, I answered. A few days later, my mother died of a massive heart attack. I couldn't do anything for her. Sometime later, I received an envelope with a copy of a restaurant receipt from the same place my mother and I had met. An attached note said, I paid this bill in advance. I wasn't sure that I could be there, but I paid for two plates, one for you and the other for your wife. You will never know what that night meant for me. I love you, son. At that moment, I understand the importance of saying in time, I love you, and give our loved ones the time that they deserve. This is the most important fact, which we will base this class on it. Love is a reality, which most of us now are ignoring. We are not trying to live the reality of love, the feeling of love, the importance of love. How your personality will be totally different when you have the intention to love, to give, to support, to take care, actually to forgive, to forget. This is the reality of the love, which is the most important factor for the healthy spirit. It is not the wealth, it is not the prestige, it is not the companionship, except when love is there and those whom they give you the real love all the time, never requesting for anything in compensation, are your parents. We pray to Allah to make us from the righteous believers whom they take care of their parents and follow the rules of Allah regarding their parents. And inshallah, we will continue regarding the fact of the trust in our life next class, inshallah. And let us make the dua. الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Amen. Oh Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Amen. Oh Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection.